So how to protect your employees, that's your personnel, as well as the patients? One is, one should eliminate the hazard as far as possible. One should first identify the hazard by undergoing the literature, by analyzing the data regarding accidents, potential accidents, incident rates, any unsafe conditions, unsafe missed accidents also one should first report and go through that and try to prevent the accidents as far as possible. Try to eliminate such conditions which are potential for developing accidents, and one should directly control the hazard if total elimination is not possible. One should supervise and educate the hospital employees for known potential hazards and disaster management plan, and regularly mock drills should be done for fire and other hazards so that people are ready in case something inadvertent occurs in future. One should inspect and do preventive maintenance so that the equipments and other things do not go for breakdown and lead to accidents or major problems. The replacement or change in types of equipment. If you feel that certain equipments are more hazardous because of their lived beyond their life, they have now become obsolete, one should at the earliest remove them and replace them with newer equipments. One should change the procedures in case there are some problems with the procedures that is being followed. The addition of safety and protective devices, one should insist of using all these personal protective equipments, and one should improve the worker qualification so that they are able to grasp the training given regarding safety easily. One should document whatever happens in the hospital, whether it's a near miss accident, whether it's an incident, or whether it's a minor accident, first aid accident, or reportable accident. It serves as a record of the program. One should provide visual and concrete documentation to accrediting or licensing bodies, such as the Joint Commission for Accreditation of Hospital Organization, which requires a documented program. Such quality accreditation, when you take, where more than 236 or so documents they are going to ask from you, which will help you in improving regarding health, safety, welfare of the hospital to a large extent, because without that you are not going to get accreditation. Review the prevention efforts and the causes of incidents, and also serve as a permanent record of what was done and why it was done and what was the result and impact of that for future. Hospital employee health and safety. Hospital environmental exposure are categorized in the same way as in any other workplaces, maybe factory, mine, etc. There are chemical hazards, especially in case of antiseptics, pesticides, laboratory chemicals. There can be chemicals in the X-ray department. So various kinds of chemicals are going to be there, so chemical hazards. Then physical hazards, because there are going to be lifts, there are going to be equipments, ACs, fans, the furniture, beds. If they are not maintained well, there can be sharp edges, there can be wear and tear of this, which can lead to physical accidents. Secondly, when the class 4 employees are carrying weight from one place to other in the hospital, if the as per Factories Act, actually when a person weighing 70 kg, if he is carrying weight beyond 30 kg, it is illegal. But then many times the Factories Act is not followed in the hospital as per the rule also, as per the law also, and unfortunately in hurry many times people are given much more weight to carry from one place to other, and then it can lead to prolapse intervertebral disc to them and a major problem of backache and lot of morbidity for them. So physical hazards are there, biological hazards are the main hazards in hospital, because all types of patients are there in the hospital. There are communicable diseases whereby the hospital employees can be infected because of that. A sputum positive patient of tuberculosis may spit in the premises or may cough, and those organisms are there in the premises of the hospital or in the OPD or in the indoor. Even when they are operated, these are available in their body, and the little bit of carelessness on the part of the medical or paramedical staff can lead to their getting infection. And secondly, the sharps are there, the garbage is there, or the blood and body fluids are there, which are handled by the class 4 employees. Many of them are illiterate, they do not understand the importance of personal protective equipments. In a hurry, at times they don't use personal protective equipment, they are mishandling these things and then getting these infections very easily. As such, many of them are alcoholic, they do not take sufficient nutrition, and they are more prone to having these problems of acquiring various infections due to low immunity also. So here you can see chemical, physical, biological and even psychological conditions, because ultimately hospital employees are dealing with patients who are mentally disturbed, who are emotionally disturbed. Many of the critically ill patients are there, where their relatives are crying in front of you, or there are terminally ill cancer cases who are all the time so much mentally disturbed, or there are psychiatric patients who are violent patients and who can really create lot of emotional problems for you. So lot of psychological conditions are there which are prone to occur for the employees of the hospital. It can lead to anxiety neurosis, it can lead to depression among the people. The hospital has many of the same exposures in these categories as to other workplaces, like electrical equipment deficiencies, toxic gases, weight to lift or move, job motivation may be not enough because they are doing monotonous work, or they are working in a postmortem department where all the time the stink of the dead bodies is there, or they are working in certain chemicals in the laboratory, etc., and hence it can lead to decreased job motivation for them. And lot of responsibility is there, because ultimately they are dealing with human beings, not with the things. If some error occurs, some money will go and it can be replaced. But if some minor error also occurs to a critically ill patient, and if the patient dies, it cannot be replaced. And that mental agony, the emotional problem will occur to that person throughout his life probably. And poor housekeeping many times is there because of inadequate budgeting, especially in public hospitals and all, has led to multiple problems for the hospital employees, in the form of tripping hazards, in the form of the biological hazards, sharps which are not taken properly in puncture proof containers, leading to the HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, etc. Then there are rat menace and cockroach menace, etc., which is leading to the water and food contamination, at times leading to lot of gastrointestinal problems for the employees themselves. The National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health has completed a survey of 3,687 hospitals to identify the types and frequencies of injuries and illnesses that are occurring among the hospital employees. This study found that among all the exposures typified, the most common types of injury were strains and sprains, which is due to carrying material, carrying the patients from one place to other, especially by class 4 patients, or sometimes by even nurses when they are changing the bedding, changing the postures of the obese patients, etc. These injuries are usually caused by improperly lifting objects, including patients, and slipping and falling on slippery floors, stairs, ladders, etc. pre-placement medical examinations should be given to all new employees of the hospital. What happens? Why we should do that? Because finally, hospital employees are going to be exposed to various hazards. Suppose the person's color vision is not proper, say he is got partially color blind, then many of the hospital employees are needed to discriminate colors. Doctors, nurses must know, must be able to discriminate red color, otherwise they are not able to see blood. If the patient is bleeding due to injury and he is not able to see that, how is he going to treat? Safety professionals, they are supposed to discriminate colors because there is a different color coding for various gases, for electrical wiring, etc. If they have got partially color blind, they are not able to identify that properly and they cannot work. Similarly, the class 4 employees at times who are involved with gardening, if they don't identify the proper color, instead of asking for red rose, they may bring black rose. And they are told to water certain plants, they may not be able to identify which plants exactly. Similarly, those who are working in colorimetry in laboratory, pathological laboratory, microbiological laboratory, where they are supposed to compare the color of the standard as well as the sample of the patient and give the report based on that, what's the cholesterol level or various other chemicals in the body of the patient. If they are not able to compare that properly because they are not able to see the color and the shades of those, and then they are likely to give wrong reports or they are just confused what to do. So one should thoroughly examine the hospital employee when he is appointed regarding color vision, near vision, distant vision, depth of vision, hearing. Total physical examination should be done. Suppose he is suffering from, say, asthma, and then he is exposed to some of the chemicals in the laboratory or in the pathology or forensic medicine lab, it can aggravate their condition because there are certain solvents which may be there. Similarly, dust is there, cotton dust may be there in and around, or the other dust may be there when the housekeeping is being done. Naturally, they can aggravate their asthma. So once you take thorough medical history, they are dealing with patients. Suppose they themselves are suffering from epileptic fits. While treating patients, suddenly a person gets epileptic fit, he fall on the patient. And the critically ill patient, it can lead to increased morbidity, fractures, and even mortality of that patient is likely to occur. So one should be very careful while doing pre-employment medical examination based on the type of job that hospital employee is going to do and see whether he is really fit to do that work or not. So one should do medical history, thorough physical examination, lab tests like blood, urine, x-ray, chest, and special consultation as indicated by the history, physical findings, or special job requirements. Periodic health maintenance program also should be there, so that periodically whatever hazards they are exposed to should be seen in the concerned organs, whether there are any changes that are occurring. General examination as above, as earlier we have seen, an assessment of continued job compatibility, and special appraisal necessitated by extensive illness or job changes which are going to occur. So pre-placement examination, if a person is promoted, if he is sent, transferred to some other place, or if there are some job requirements which are changed due to multi-skilling to be done, then one should do periodic health checkup also. Health and safety education program should be developed to include job orientation, safe working habits, relevant health information, and the use of the hospital occupational health unit for reporting injury or illness should be must for all the employees. Thereby, a proper data collection should occur. One can analyze that, and then one can prevent these hazards for other people also. Hospital occupational health and safety, going further, all the employees should be immunized against tetanus toxoid, against hepatitis B, because the hospital employees are likely to be exposed to body fluid and blood. All medical paramedical staff should be immunized against hepatitis B vaccine. Those who are working in canteen, food handlers are there, they also should be immunized against TT because they are likely to get injuries, they are using knives, choppers, etc. Hepatitis B, again, because of the injuries, they can be exposed to body fluid sometimes or blood, or any by chance they get of a hepatitis B positive patient. Thirdly, they should be given typhoral or injection against typhoid. Injectable vaccine should be given to them because it is very common that in case they suffer from typhoid and if they are excreting, if their hygienic level is slightly not good also, it can lead to epidemic of typhoid in hospital patients or even hospital employees because of that. So it's very, very essential regarding immunization of people. Similarly, those who are by chance suffering from any immunocompromised disease, they should be even immunized against influenza and various other immunization as required. So it includes smallpox, diphtheria, tetanus, polio, other diseases indicated by epidemics or any unusual lab conditions. One should update these programs as and when required based on the modern surveys and surveillances that are being done. Provision for care of illness and injury at work should include arrangements for medical, surgical, psychological and rehabilitative services for all the employees of the hospital. Specific location availability should be there so that people know exactly where to go for what, and we should have competent medical personnel to look after this, and a formalized procedure should be there which should be maintained, and thorough records of all employees should be kept. Treatment and reports of occupational injuries and illnesses should conform to state compensation laws and OSHA's requirement. Needle stick injury is one of the important hazard in case of hospital employees, where they should be very careful, and in case there is a doubt, they should be immediately given prophylaxis treatment against HIV, and they should be examined regarding HIV at the time of injury, after injury, and periodically after 3 months, 6 months, like that, and prophylactic treatment they should complete as per the NACO guidelines. Environmental control and surveillance services should be provided periodically to detect, to avoid or limit harmful occupational exposures which are likely to be there in the hospital environment. Special attention should be given to all hazardous occupational exposures for women of childbearing age because they are more vulnerable since they are having fetus within the womb who are developing organs at that time, and these fetus are more vulnerable to these hazards. There can be congenital malformations occurring, there can be abortions occurring because of that. They should not go near the radiology department. A radiology exposure should not occur to them at all. And if they are working as radiological technicians or if they are giving anesthesia, they should avoid during this period of pregnancy. Preferably at least during first trimester, where they are more vulnerable. Women of childbearing age to employees exposed to ionizing or non-ionizing radiation, and to operating room personnel exposed to anesthetic gases. Employee health and safety records should be maintained in the health unit. These must include examinations, thorough physical medical examination, injury or illness reports, radiation records, especially for those who are involved in radiology department, and other environmental exposure reports or records between the health unit and other hospital departments and services, including the safety committee, infection control committee, labor union and similar groups. Well, in a hospital we should have all these committees, therapeutic committee, the safety committee, the infection control committee, very very essential, and there should be coordination among all. Safety committee, as I told you earlier, they are going to look into all the hazards that are likely to be there in the hospital. They are going to give thorough health education to all regarding what are the hazards available which can lead to safety problems, how to prevent them, how to eliminate them, and how to tackle in case some problem occurs, so that prompt treatment can be given. Similarly, infection control committee, which consists of microbiologists, the HOD of various medical departments, hospital administrator, who should meet once in a month and regularly monitor the bugs in the hospital by taking regular samples of these and sending them and checking them in the pathology laboratory, especially of all the operation theaters, ICUs, otherwise multidrug resistant bugs can be there, which can lead to multiple problems for patients and the even hospital employees in case they are infected. So infection control committee also is extremely important to prevent the main hazards, biological hazards that are prevalent in the hospital. And labor union also should be taken into consideration, because finally they are the people who are going to take care of the class 4 employees, and with their word only those people are going to follow that, the precautions needed. Hospital acquired infection, very important aspect for hospital employees and patients and even visitors. It is also known as nosocomial infection. It's infection occurring during hospitalization, and it is considered to be the major problem in a hospital where cross infection can occur. The agents most commonly prevalent in hospitals are Staphylococcus aureus, Haemolyticus streptococcus, E. coli, Klebsiella, Pseudomonas and viruses. Staph aureus can lead to pneumonias, pyodermas. Haemolytic streptococcus can lead to pharyngitis and later even to rheumatic disease, can be leading to the valvular problems of the heart or rheumatic chorea or muscles and joints can be involved afterwards, and even kidneys can be involved. Klebsiella can lead to the colonic problems, loose motions and all. Pseudomonas is again can lead to multiple cellulitis and problems. Pneumonia also is common, and there are multiple viruses which can be there in the hospital premises. These viruses can be influenza, which can become difficult to treat at times. Then HIV virus is there, hepatic virus, herpes virus is there, so multiple viruses are likely to be there in the surrounding, and people can get infected because of that. The sources can be the patients themselves or the staff who are working in the hospital environment, because they are the carriers who can give it to others. Hepatitis B carriers are also known, where suppose a surgeon is having hepatitis B, if he has got a cut and somebody touches that naturally, or he touches the body organ of the patient without the double gloves and all, it can lead to slight cut in the, if it is a single glove, a slight cut in that glove also due to the needle stick injury or knife or whatever he is using, and since it is in direct touch with the blood of the patient can develop hepatitis B. 0.4 ml of blood is enough to infect a person. So one can understand there are multiple sources available in hospital. People are touching the taps, people are touching the knobs of the various furniture items, and they can transmit these bugs on that. And when anybody else, an employee or a patient or a relative, is going to touch those things also, sometimes can be transferred to them and they can develop these diseases. So biological hazard, hospital acquired infection, is a major problem, and one should be very careful to prevent these hospital acquired infections by various methods available. Regular hand washing, one should keep the hand sanitizer outside every ward, so that whoever enters the ward should use that hand sanitizer before going in, and while he comes out also he should use the hand sanitizer. The universal precautions should be taken by all the hospital employees to prevent nosocomial infection as far as possible.